If you have your Bible and you'd like to open it up to the book of James today, I'm going to get there in just a minute. I'm going to do something a little different today. Incidentally, there's two events that are going on tonight if you're looking for something tonight. At Bethel Christian Fellowship in Rochester at 321 East Avenue, where my pastor is, there will be a woman by the name of Siggy Oberlander. She was born during the Nazi regime in Germany, and she tells an incredible and gives an incredible testimony of her parents. That's going to happen at 6 o'clock in Rochester tonight. I'm actually, this church is hosting our monthly pastors meeting here tomorrow. We've got over 50 pastors that are going to be here. So keep us in prayer for that tomorrow. She'll be sharing with the pastors here tomorrow. And then in Buffalo at 7 o'clock tonight at the chapel, they're having a worship event to raise money for something I'm going to be talking about today, the Every Child Ministry that we are going to embark and being a part of as well. And so you have two opportunities. If you want to do something tonight and just want to stay, keep your bearings lubed up, you can go to Rochester or you can go to Buffalo. They're both great places and both be a great blessing to you. I want to remind you also to pray for Israel. Pray for what's taking place and what's happening there. It's going to have an effect in the world that we live in. And be careful as the normal news outlets just, they're very jaded in how they communicate things. And my friend Victor, he sent us a message. There's an app, I think it's called the Red Alert app, and it goes off, I put it on my phone, it goes off every time a rocket is launched from Hamas into Israel. I'm telling you, the thing was going off every 5 minutes. It's unbelievable what is taking place there. And the news organizations paint the picture that Israel is the aggressor in this. But if you were sitting in your house and somebody kept on throwing stones through your window, nobody would sit there in their right mind and just let the stones keep on coming in. You would stand up, you would do something about it. In Israel, and we cannot fault them for that. This has been going on for a long time. Before the news ever even reported it, missiles have been going into Israel from Gaza, from Hamas, for a long time. The first time I went there a few years ago, and we went into a little city called Sadot, there were rockets that they had kept on these outdoor shelves to show visitors that came, and there was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, some of them that they didn't blow apart when they hit, and it's just amazing. Anyways, keep them in prayer. Today I want to talk about this ministry, Every Child. I want to talk about this because a few months ago I was exposed to it, and after I was exposed to it, I just couldn't get it out of my heart. I just don't see how as a church, we do many things. We're involved in a lot of things. We help a lot of people. We do things that I don't even talk about. I don't think it's necessary for us to have photo ops with everything that we do. I sometimes, to be honest with you, I get a little weary at that when people do good. And sometimes I think it's just so they can get their picture taken. And there's something about that that I don't know. It just doesn't sit real great with me. I have no problem having pictures taken, things like that. But if that's the only purpose and reason behind it, I think that people shouldn't do it. But the Every Child Ministry is a ministry that originated at the chapel in Buffalo. And it's not a entity all on itself. And I thought it was interesting, and I didn't even put the two pieces together, that in the day that we start our VBS tonight, next door, is the same day that I'm going to be talking about children today. The VBS, again, is from 6 to 8 o'clock tonight, from 4 years old to 6th grade. If you have kids or grandkids that fit into that, they're welcome. But the Every Child Ministry is a ministry that reaches out to children who have no home. They are in foster care. They are in need of adoption. Children that are that are left without. And I'm going to show a video in a few minutes. And it's quite heart-wrenching. And I've watched it several times. And this morning, in the first service, it messed me up. And I don't want anyone to leave during that. And it's going to bring up some emotions in some people. But it is a reality of where we are in the time frame that we're living in. If all the orphans in the world stood in a single file line, they would wrap around the planet two times. Isn't that amazing? If orphans were a country, it would be the ninth largest on the planet, beating out even Russia. That's staggering, isn't it, though? Did you know that over 60% have been separated from their parents before their sixth birthday? Just some staggering facts. And this is a part of who the church is called to help. That met when I was in Kenya with Mike Brown the last time. He said, we don't like to call our orphans orphans because it labels them. It's unfortunate that people do put labels on individuals, whether it's children, humanity, in any shape or form. But he said, we want to transition our orphanages and have the people take these children, put them in a home so that they can be recognized as children, sons and daughters, and not set aside and labeled as orphans. My friend Terry King, who has been here before, he runs a ministry called Grace House, and it's a ministry in Buffalo, Rochester, Elmira. He has a place now in Tampa, who take in men who are released from prison on parole that have nowhere to live. And he serves over 500 a year. And he told me that we were with him Friday night. He said, the state advises me how many beds I will need by looking at the statistic of children who are between the ages of 8 and 11 years old, by how well their home is, how well they read, and their ability to function in life. He said they already know a percentage that is close to how many of them will end up in prison. Isn't that staggering to see that and to hear something like that? I was with my pastors in Buffalo, some friends, a few weeks ago. And Pastor Jerry Gillis, pastor of the chapel, talked about a friend of his in Austin, Texas, a pastor that group of Christians that were concerned about the need in their city begin to ask the real questions and ask people who were in the know, what is the biggest need? And there was many of them, but they all funneled down to one major need in that city. And you know what it was? It wasn't food. People need food. It wasn't clothing. People need clothing. It wasn't housing. People need housing. You know what it was? Teaching third graders how to read. And they look back, and most of the separation, most of the pain, most of the incarceration, most of the offenses came, and they were pointed back to that time in that young boy or young girl's life where they didn't learn how to read. So you know what they did? They put together a coalition of people, and they went to the schools and said, we want to help. And the pastors now go into these schools on a regular basis and help third graders learn how to read. You see, sometimes I think we're putting Band-Aids continually on places that are cut and never finding out why people are hurt in the first place. What makes them in pain? What has created this? And so the Every Child Ministry is a ministry made up of a group of churches that simply helps children and comes alongside of agencies as the social services that are already doing it. But so today, I want to make you aware of some opportunity that each one of us could engage in. Somebody may say, well, I can't do that. I talked to somebody earlier this morning that said I couldn't do that. But what we can do is we can help in a way. Maybe we can show some kindness, acts of kindness to some families that are foster parents, some families that are or have adopted. And maybe there's some families here today. You've been wondering, God, would you want me to adopt? Would you want me to be a foster parent of some kind? We want to show you the pathway and help you to realize maybe what's been a dream. But maybe it's not that, but maybe you can help out some that are. And so at the end of service today, Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti will be at the table in the back. They have an information card. You can look at it. You can read it. You can pray over it. You can find out, okay, Lord, what can I do in this to participate and to help and to lend a hand and to show the love of Jesus Christ in the hearts, in the lives of people? I want to read this scripture to you out of James chapter 1. And James, who is the half-brother of Jesus, half-brother, same mom, not the same dad. The early church history tells that James was such a praying man that his knees had such thick calluses on them from praying that they said he had the knees of a camel. He was on his knees so much. In fact, the history says he was martyred. He was thrown off the top of a temple in Jerusalem, but the fall didn't kill him. What killed him was people beating him to death as he prayed for the same people that attacked him. You say, why do you tell that story? Because when I read the scripture to you, it helps us to know the history of a person, who they were when they write such scriptures in the Bible. And I pick it up in verse 19. It says, so then, my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It's a good word. In verse 21, he says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, and be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And here's the scripture, verse 27, pure in undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. Are you ready? Here it is. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble, in their distress, in their pain, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world that we live in. This is pure religion. I want to show you this video. This is going to create some emotions for some of you. For some, you might not understand this at all. But this video points and could only illustrate what we are wanting to partner with and to do. I want to make it clear that this isn't something that we're creating on our own, a new infrastructure. All we're doing as a church is coming alongside and helping in areas. Now, I want you to, this is going to be, for some of you, it could be tough, but I want you to stay, and I want you to get up and walk out, because I'm going to help you as I close today. I'm going to help you with what you just seen. Go ahead, guys. Run the video.
Hurt you so bad.
No, I don't think you understand.
It stops hurting at all. Until something makes you feel again. every word, every hurt, every moment. How could you ever understand where I come from? Even if you ask, even if you listen, you do not really hear or see or feel. You don't remember my story. You haven't walked my path. You haven't seen what I've seen. Defines me. This is who I am. I am unseen, unheard, unwanted. That is what I am, if even I am anything. Same thing that held me up forced me down. The world turned upside down, and order disappeared. Nothing was how it was supposed to be, and a heavy sadness filled my soul. Deeper and deeper I fell within myself. And nothing could draw me out. Trapped in the misery of my life. Lost in the sorrow of my soul. Unable to see the light. Unable to see the dawn. To feel. To hope.
What are you doing picking my
to dream.
Watch out!
And I found the darkest days of my life kept coming. The blackest nights for my soul never stopped. Like it was always nighttime and nightmares and never morning. And maybe you wonder why, but mostly you try not to think about it and try to get by and try to survive. And all the other stuff seems so much like nothing compared to just wanting the most important things back again. Like wishing you could see your mama smile again and hear her sing that one favorite song that always calmed you down when things were all messed up. Or if you couldn't have her back, at least get to take care of your baby brother, because you know he needs you and he's gonna be so scared all alone. And who's gonna hold his hand and whisper it'll be all right to him? And who will whisper it to me?
Hi, Zoe. It's so good to have you here. Are you ready to come in?
I know I am helpless, dependent, desperate. But what happens when those you need the most threaten your very existence? I've heard plenty of promises, and they all sound the same. Push hard enough, and sooner or later, they all prove to be empty. The sun comes up every morning, but do you know where? Each place, it's somewhere different. It's hard to find east when you keep moving around, but at least it comes. It always comes. I've come to depend on that. And slowly, slowly seasons changed around me. And it seemed, this time, that maybe the world would not be pulled out from under me again. Feet safe, roots starting to grow. Little buds of hope forming. Slowly attempting to trust this new life.
Hi.
Let me show you what I got for you. Got you a gift. I don't care about your dress. You think I care about your dress?
I wish someone would tell me it's gonna be okay.
I swear to God, you touch me again, I will kill you.
Don't touch me. Don't care about
that one day.
No.
Maybe.
I
feel normal.
I hate you.
That I won't always be alone. That I'll have a mommy who will hug me and be strong for me. Because maybe I can't do it all by myself.
Thank you.
this my past, my history, my story, is not my fault. It's not because of me. And doesn't have to be what defines my future. I am lovable. I am worthy of care. And that glimmer of light, it makes all the difference. The glimmers of light give me hope that someday my summer will come.
That's pretty incredible, isn't it? The glimmer of light gives me hope. The Lord in Psalm 34:18 says he's close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed. You know, it was never God's plan to put anybody in a situation like that. And I'm very well aware this morning that some of you that are here have been in that situation. Mine was a little different. The first service, I completely fell apart. I've watched that video so many times, and it just affects me. But God is there to help us and to lift us up from that. And I want to take you just to another level as I'm closing here this morning. That he has a promise to us that he's close to us in times like this. That his intention is to minister to us and to heal our broken hearts. But he not only heals our brokenness, he not only heals our past, but he calls us out of that to minister and to help others who may be going through or are facing some of the same things in our lives. Because God heals and binds up the brokenhearted and helps people. That's what he does. And he doesn't come out of the sky and the clouds don't surround people and it's not in some mist. It's in you and I. He deposits who he is in you and I to help others, to be an arm or hand extended, to show love, to be a blessing to somebody. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation." But look at it, doesn't stay there. It says that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. See, it'd never be enough for God to just save me from what he saved me from. Oh, when I saw that video and that alcoholic dad, I could tell you some stories. Oh, I could tell you story after story. And I could stay in that place in my life. And I could stay wounded and I could stay broken and I could stay hurting. And I could be a victim, and I could live in a mess. But I, one day, made a choice, not only to give my life to Jesus, because he said that he'd bind up the brokenhearted. The Bible says that he'd rush to those who are hurting. He'd help those who are bruised. He'd help the ones that are broken and trodden down. He'd help them. But he not only said he'd do that, but he said he'd use the very thing that you were hurt by and heal you so you could go and help others in their own way that are hurting. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I've come to give you life. And I've come to give it more abundantly." And when I was that young boy at home and I saw those things, and I knew I'd never be that person that I was exposed to. But little did I know that God would now not only heal me of my pain, but use me to help others and use me to be a blessing into somebody else's life. This morning, Ben and Aaron and their kids, they left after first service for vacation. Betty comes up and hugged me because that young boy many of you don't even know it, lived in our home for a season of his life when he was going through some hurt. And nothing brings me more joy than to see these young men who have been hurt and have gone through things in their life and now see them standing and strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. And he calls us. He not only saves us, he not only heals us, he not only uses us, but he calls us to proliferate, to take what he has done in us, to take our brokenness, our hurt that we've been healed by, and now go and help others who are going through pain. You see, that's why when I see young men, young women, when I see people that are going through hurt and pain in their life, when I hear the story about a broken home or a broken life, that I don't get all distressed and all shocked over it. I tell my wife all the time, nothing shocks me anymore. You want to know why? Because I know that I've seen the Master's hand at work. And I know that what he did in me, that he can do in others. And what he's done in others that I'm now exposed to, he can do in that person itself. That's why, before you leave today, if you're in that place, if you are that one that's hurting, that's broken, Jesus has an answer for you today. He has come to bind up your broken heart. He has come to heal that which is all messed up in your life. He's come to do that. But then, to the one who's been healed, he calls you to another level today. And I love the story of Matthew chapter 14. And when Jesus was talking and his disciples, the Bible says it came to him. And the Bible says in the Living Bible that time for supper had passed and there was nothing to eat. And the disciples said, send them away. Send all the people away so they can go into the villages and get some food. And Jesus said, no. He said, you feed them. They said, we don't have anything. He said, yes. There's a young lad. He's got some bread and he's got some fish. Bring it to me. And the Bible says that he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it and he fed them all and they had baskets left over. We serve a God today. You might be here and think, what can I do? How can I help? Listen, I'm convinced not everybody is called to be someone who's going to adopt a child, but I'll bet you there may be a few in here this morning, and you've been thinking about it and praying about it for a long time, and today is the day where you get in that place where God can show you, and the people that we're partnering with can show you how to do it. Maybe it's being a foster parent. Maybe it's neither of those. Maybe it's just coming alongside and helping some that are by making a meal, by helping a family out that needs a break. Patty and I were in Rochester yesterday morning, took a short ride, and we were driving down the road, and we went by this abandoned gas station, and there out front is this stacks of shoes that this man was out selling and said, $20. And I drove by, and my mind doesn't look at things like everybody else's. I don't know. I've got this tilt in my mind, in my thinking. I drive by and I see shoes like that. I think I could get some of those. I could put some shoes on some people's feet because I know what it's like not to have shoes. I got down the road a half a mile. I told Patty, I said, I got to turn around. She said, where are you going? I got to go see if I can make a deal with the guy. Maybe he'd give me a better price if I bought 20, 30 pair. Sure enough, I went up. I said, hi, my name is Marty. I'm a pastor. I give clothes and shoes and things away. He said, I'll help you. I'll do something for you. Exchange numbers. Because we can do something. We can do something. We can help somebody. Not for a photo op either. For a changed life. A changed life. And you can do something. You can do something. Today I want to pray for you if you're broken. I want you to come down. Brock and Marcy, I want you to come down with them this morning too. I want you to help pray this morning. If you're here broken and hurting, God could help you. But maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I want to be used in that. Chuck and Cheryl Vendetti, we're going to partner with the Genesee County Social Services because they're already doing it. We're going to partner with the organization Every Child. They have some information out there that can help you. You don't have to start from square one. We're not creating something brand new. We're just making you aware of it. Let you come alongside. Let you participate in some way, shape, or form. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head this morning. He's here to help the brokenhearted. You don't have to live another day like that. I watched that video and those memories come to me. Yes, it hurts. I saw my dad beating my mother and my brothers. I can see him to this day as he empties every dish out of the cupboard. How he smashes the windows in the house. I can see it. But you know what? It doesn't have any effect on me anymore. Because I've been set free. The blood of Jesus has made me brand new. And he can do it for you today. If you're here today, you never gave your heart to Jesus. That's where you got to start. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, please, with me all over here, just for a moment. I'm going to close. But if you've never given your life to Jesus, you got to do that. You can't live separate from Him. Well, I'm talking to more than one right now. The Holy Spirit, He just quickened my heart to say there's many here this morning who have never made Jesus the Lord and the master of their life. Today is your day. Today, everything's going to change for you. Keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment, because God's Holy Spirit right now is working and doing things that no man could say. I couldn't preach a message anymore or any better than the power of His Holy Spirit could do in a life in just a moment right here, right now. You need Jesus in your heart today. You've never given Him your heart or your life. I don't want you to leave here today until you do that. Say, how do I do it? All you do, Ben's going to come up here. He's going to close in prayer. And when he says amen and he dismisses, I want you to come down, stand in front of somebody here. Just say, I want Jesus to come into my life. Any one of them will pray with you. You can receive Him. I'm not talking about joining a church or being a part of it. I'm talking about King of all kings, who was, who is to come. He who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Who gave His life and shed His blood that you could live forever. And to give you a hope for tomorrow. That's who I'm talking about. His name is Jesus. He lives. Then I'm talking to those people too today. Maybe your childhood was just horrific. God can help you get past that. And I'm praying for that dad or that mom today. Maybe you saw yourself in that video today. God, there's hope for you too. You can be redeemed. You don't have to stay drowning in the misery of your mistakes. He will lift you up out of that. And today, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You can come out of that. You can live. You can begin to live a new life. You don't have to live and allow external forces, the enemy, to control who you are in your life any longer. You can be free. There is no one here that will criticize or judge you, only pray for you and let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart today. And then for those who say, I want to help, I want to do something. I don't know what it is, but I want to do something. As you're leaving today, I want you to stop at the table. Tell Cheryl, tell Chuck, what can I do? Show me. Fill out that information. I want to be a part. I want to make a difference. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Benjamin, I want you to come on up here, honey. I want you to close in prayer.
Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Lord, I thank you today for what you're doing in this house. And Lord, this next chapter of a whole new responsibility that we have as a church. God, I thank you for every person that's here that took their time out today to serve you and to honor you and to be 100% committed to your will and your way. Lord, we come to you as a congregation today, and we submit to the things that you'll have us to do. And Lord, we open our hearts to these ideas and these things that you're churning in us, Lord, the things that are in our hearts today that we're feeling. Lord, we open our hearts to it and our lives to you. I pray that you'll bless every person that's here today, bless their week. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Well, don't forget.